together as an Easter people. Several announcements to draw to your attention. In light of the fact that our children are in worship with us all of this worshiping hour, there are several places where they will be invited to get up and move. However, if your child is needing to move before one of those advertised places, our family room is available upstairs for parents and children under the age of 3, and the downstairs is open for parents to accompany children downstairs if there needs to be some running around time during the worship service. Please accompany your children. Please take note that many people in the life of this congregation have donated flowers to celebrate Easter here, and we're with great thanks to Jill Moles and Dorothea Lusignan, who made them come to life in the front of our sanctuary this morning. Please do take note of the announcements that you'll find in your bulletin this morning. Our church nominating committee is beginning its work to look for new elders and deacons. Information about people that you might want to suggest for church leadership is available in the bulletin. And are there any other announcements this morning before we prepare to worship God together? Then let us come to worship God as we prepare our hearts during this morning's prelude.
Hear the proclamation of the word from the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must arise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
I don't know about all of you, but I'm filled with so many thoughts of if I had only, and I should have, but now it's too late. Jesus is dead, laid in the tomb. Somehow, I didn't expect it to turn out like this when he first called me to accompany him. All he said was, "Come, Peter, join me, we'll fish for people. Come, help build the kingdom." I can't explain it, but I just walked away from fishing, even though it was what I expected to do for the rest of my life. We spent a lot of time together over the next 3 years, and Jesus counted on me. I know he did. One day Jesus said, "On rocks like you, Peter, I will build my church." I was so confident that I would always stand beside him. I was so certain. But that one night, as he walked on the water coming towards us, as we sat in the boat, I tried to walk on the water, but I started sinking. And Jesus said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I did believe him, really, I did. When he asked who people said the Son of Man was, I told him clearly, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But then there was that horrible night. I denied him, not just once, but 3 times. When he needed me most, I failed him. I should have admitted knowing Jesus. I should have stood up and spoken on his behalf. Mary, at least you were always there for him.
I may have been there, Peter, but that horrible night, I was just watching. I did no more than you did. I was powerless. Even if I had tried to protest, the officials would have scoffed at me. After all, I'm only a woman. But Jesus was different. He even let me sit at his feet and hear his lessons. I listened. I learned. He was as one of our family. Martha, Lazarus, and I were always so happy to have him. Of course, Martha could not be bothered to listen. She was always busy fixing meals. But then she can always say that she took good care of Jesus. When Lazarus died, I went to Jesus crying and accusing him, saying, "If you had been there, my brother would not have died." Then Jesus cried. He cried. If only I could take back my tears, my angry words. But angry words, once said, cannot be taken back. If only I had never said them. If only I had believed in Jesus more. Martha did, though. When Jesus came and found Lazarus dead, Martha called to him and really listened that time when Jesus told her Lazarus will rise again. Martha told him she believed in the resurrection. But Jesus said something that I have puzzled over. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live." Martha, faithful, told Jesus, "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. If only I had another chance."
Peter, at least you can find satisfaction in having traveled with Jesus for 3 years and all your faithful service to him. And Mary, your family gave Jesus a safe haven, a place for rest. But me, the powerful Nicodemus, I didn't lift a finger to save him. I went to see Jesus in the dark of night. I wouldn't come out of the shadows and let people know what I was doing. As Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, I, as a Pharisee and a member of that court, could have done or said something. I had a perfect opportunity. They asked, "Has any one of the authorities or of the Pharisees believed in him?" I stood on the law, saying, "Our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they are doing, does it?" When they replied, "Surely you are not also from Galilee, are you? Search, and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee." I had the perfect opportunity. If only I had spoken.
If only you had spoken. If only Peter had not denied him. If only I could take back angry words and tears. If only.
If only I had more faith.
Jesus could have condemned me when I was caught in adultery. I knew I was guilty. I deserved punishment. But all he said was, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." After he stood down to draw in the sand, all those men silently left, one by one, finding that no one had condemned me. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on do not sin again." What joy, what peace, I am forgiven.
They said I was blind because I was born and brought up in sin. Oh, I suppose they felt that they needed to blame someone or something for my blindness. But Jesus, this wonderful man who healed me, said that no one's sin was responsible. However, the leaders of the synagogue were not able to accept this explanation any more than they could accept that Jesus had been able to heal me because he is from God. I know Jesus must be from God, for though I have been blind since birth, the most glorious thing happened to me when I bathed my eyes at Siloam. My eyes were opened, and I could see the glorious blue sky and the vast land spread out before me. I could see the wonderful colors of people's clothing as they gathered around me in amazement. Jesus told me that he is the Son of Man, and I said, Lord, I believe. It is the leaders of the synagogue who are blind, living in darkness. And I, who have been blind, have been given physical and spiritual sight. While they tried to convince me and everyone else that sin was the cause of my blindness, Jesus has freed me from this misconception. It is nothing I or my parents did, and we can all rejoice in the Lord who has made me whole.
That day, I went to draw water from Jacob's well as one which I will never forget. There sat a Jewish man, and he asked me, a Samaritan woman, to give him a drink. I was totally shocked that a man spoke to me at all, since it isn't customary to speak to women. But Jews don't speak to Samaritans, men or women. He spoke to me of giving me living water and assured me that I would never be thirsty again. I asked him to give me this water, but he said to go call my husband. I didn't want to say that I wasn't living with a man, not my husband. So I said, I have no husband. And this man replied, you are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. It was amazing. He knew all about me. I believed him to be a prophet as he continued to speak to me about worshiping God in spirit and truth. I told him, I know the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will be proclaiming all things to us. The man said, I am he. Can you believe that? Even as he said it, I knew it to be truth. I ran into town to tell everyone about him, and they followed me out to Jacob's well, and they too believed. The Messiah spoke to me, a sinful Samaritan woman. It's almost too wonderful to believe, but I do. The Messiah came, and he spoke to me, and he never condemned me, and I am an entirely new woman. I can't help myself. I must go and tell everyone the good news.
Jesus has risen. Jesus has risen.
Hallelujah.
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 Let us sing together the first hymn, number 123.
Thank you.
Before you sit, move towards the center aisle so that the people who are remaining to be seated can come up the side aisles for some seats. And let us join together in the litany of celebration. Easter is gladness out of gloom. The 40 days of being serious, Lent has turned into colorful flowers. Violet showing sorrow has turned to bright white. Weeping has become laughter. Sorrow has turned to joy. Death to life. The grave of Jesus has opened. The stony tomb can't hold Jesus. He is alive. Everyone thank God for the wondrous gift of Christ being alive with clapping hands. Everyone praise God with shouts of alleluia. 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 Let us celebrate. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We would all like to think that we are good people and that we do not sin. And yet if we think that, we just are fooling ourselves. And so Jesus invites us to come together in our prayer of confession, first silently and then in unison. Let us pray. God, God, sometimes it is so hard to be good. We get mad at our brothers and sisters, our parents, even our friends. We say things that we feel bad about. It is really hard to not be selfish with what we think is ours. And sometimes we want more when we already have a lot. God, I don't always say my prayers. I'm sorry. Help me to be a better person. Today we celebrate Easter, and this is what it's all about. Jesus came to live on this earth, to live, to teach us, to die, and to rise again, so that we would know that we are forgiven, and in Christ, we each and every one of us have a new life. Let us rejoice and know that we are forgiven. Amen.
Giano so yes wedding kuni na wa twa so na wedi amaye na wa sem shenane je bumano na ta se be ye ye na wedding kuni na wa twa so na wedi amaye na wa sem shenane je bumano na ta se be ye ye haleluya na ta se
and concerns of the church. And I think the greatest joy is the great music we have here today. Are there any joys or concerns anybody here would like to share?
Our youngest son, Jeff, is probably one of the funniest people I've ever met. His older brother, who is in the trauma of a relationship that's ending, called up the other day and wanted to visit his brother. And he didn't want to talk over the phone. He'll bring pizza. So he met with the group, and he told them that he had been diagnosed with thyroid cancer, which is being well taken care of, and they got it earlier. But his younger brother said, "Thank God it's cancer. I thought you were getting back with her."
That's a good one.
I have a joy. I successfully defended my PhD thesis on Friday. So, thank you. And I have my family here to celebrate with me this weekend as well. So.
More joy, please. More joy.
Well, I have a concern. I read an article this morning about children, the amount of children that are crossing into the United States from Central and South America, and how that number has exponentially been going up and continues to go up. So just prayers for folks that are traveling to cross into the United States, and particularly for all of those children, because it's a very rough journey, and just prayers for them.
I would like to ask prayers for my my nephew's girlfriend, Brianna, and she has been diagnosed with, forgive me for not knowing the medical terminology, but it's a Chiari malformation on her on the top of her spine with a cyst, which has caused a number of neurologic symptoms, disorientation and slurred speech and a number of other things. But at only 16 years old, it's quite a frightening thing to have to go through and have some surgeries and a number of tests. So please pray for her, Brianna.
I'd like to ask for prayers from my brother-in-law's mother, who's in the hospital on a ventilator this Easter, and also pray for more joy and fewer concerns in tomorrow's Boston Marathon.
Ed, what's the mother-in-law's name?
Beverly. I'd like to thank everyone who prayed for my son and his family. He's progressing very well, recovering from the quadruple bypass. Thank you all.
This is a concern. Some of you may have known that David Burnham, he was headmaster at Moses Brown for many years, and his wife has had open heart surgery just recently. So I think all of our prayers, we know the prayers from this congregation work big time, so all of the prayers are most welcome. Thank you.
I want to thank everybody for all the prayers. As it's been Holy Week, I believe the prayers are working because I've been at church for like the fourth time all week. And it's not by my choice. I believe it's God's choice because I haven't even struggled with it. It's just happening that way. And there's been a lot of positive things happening in my life. I'm a grandmother for the sixth time. And she weighs 10.9. She's like a three-month-old. But I'd like to have prayers for my oldest daughter because giving birth, she had struggled with it. She will be having surgery because she had some problems after giving birth. Prayers for my family, my children, and my six grandchildren, and prayers for everybody here in the congregation. Thank you.
sorry, I don't have a name yet, as we're still getting details. Prayers for my wife's chorus, the Chorus of East Providence. Tuesday night after rehearsal, one of their members went missing. And we just got word yesterday she was found in her car dead at a local hospital.
I have a joy and a concern. My joy is that one of my grandchildren was accepted at the University of Indiana, and he'll be going there studying business. And my other concern is two of my grandchildren right now are in Italy. They're on a Susan and David. Susan went as a chaperone, and David is on his 12th grade trip. So prayers for their safety. And Thanksgiving.
Could you, Joanne, we couldn't hear. Susan and David are where?
Susan and David are in Italy. It's on David's 12th
Can
grade.
Can you speak into the microphone?
Yeah,
we can't
I'm
hear
sorry.
You.
Yes, David is on his 12th grade trip.
Okay.
And in Italy. And Susan went with them as a chaperone.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my friend Jess, who recently found out that she had another cancer recurrence. So she's going to be facing chemotherapy again. And she's got a great attitude, which is wonderful. But she's only 26, so this is a lot to face twice. So prayers for Jess.
I would like to share our joy, and we want to say thanks to God, because my father, if you can stand up, he just arrived last Wednesday from Iraq after a lot of suffer.
Welcome, Faraj.
I'd like to ask prayers for a new group of students who's trying to discern whether they want to teach in the prison. So just prayers for that decision and for the students they teach. Thank you.
I would like to ask prayers for my stepdaughter, Evelyn. Last Wednesday, she was on her way from office to pick the three press from the daycare, and she got into accident. She's doing okay, but the car didn't do that well. And thank God the kids were not in the car.
I'd like continued prayers for my brother-in-law, Johnny. He now has an artificial heart, but he's still waiting for the real thing.
I just want to concern one of my friends at work, friends named Joan. She has a brain lymphoma. They're trying to decide whether or not to go for treatment or no treatment.
I'd like prayers for my dog, Lady, who had a sudden, her heart disease suddenly got worse this week, and I found myself down at Petco and Whole Foods last night trying to find anything to get her pills into her. She's supposed to have three pills twice a day, and she's not eating anything, so finally I had to use brute force. So I would like prayers for eating and for getting her medicine into her. Thank you.
Our son, Sim, returned from Hawaii on board ship, and he is the master helmsman for bringing the ship into port. We're thankful that not only he and all the other shipmates came into port, but there was no accident with him steering the ship. So, thank you.
We're still basking in the joy of a long celebration for Walter's 90th birthday, beginning last Saturday and continuing through Monday. But I'd also like continued prayers for him and for my brother Bill, who has Parkinson's. And I'd also ask prayers for those who were affected by the ferry in Korea that keeled over.
Let us pray. We come, O Christ, this day to celebrate the power of resurrection in a world in need of such power. And we pray for our world, for places of sudden and ongoing pain, such as those families in South Korea, in Kansas, on Mount Everest, in the Westerly Chorus. We pray, O Lord, that you would touch all of the hearts and the needs in those places and in the Malaysian air disaster still unsolved, that war and injustice may cease throughout our world, and that as we gather in churches around the globe today to celebrate resurrection, new life, and joy, that the fullness of this reality might be felt throughout your world. We pray for those who come to new places and new times seeking a better life, particularly for children in immigration crossings and passages. We rejoice this day with the Wadia family in the arrival of Faraj, long, long waiting, come to fruition. We pray, O Lord, that you would be with those who need your special healing touch in this day, for those who are in the midst of transitions, positive and not so easy. May this season inspire hope and bring forth new opportunities, jobs, new homes. We pray for those who struggle with discouragement, depression, mental illness and substance abuse recovery. May they be made whole and encouraged in your spirit. We pray, O Lord, this day for the many named and unnamed in our prayers today who need your healing touch, for Todd as he approaches surgery, for Brianna, for Beverly, for Ann Burnham, for Jennifer, for Jess, for Evelyn. We rejoice that the accident was not worse, and we pray for your safety with her little ones. For Johnny, for Milton's friend Joan, for Bill. Remind us ever, O God, that because you live, we also live, and can sing forth praises for the joys that we celebrate this day. We love because you first loved us and sent your only Son to bring life eternal. We give thanks for Diane's celebration this weekend with her family and the granting of that PhD so long in the works, for Donald's improvement, for Melinda's centering and presence with us, for the birth of this sixth grandchild. We pray for Joanne's grandchild who's been newly admitted to the University of Indiana, and for David and Susan in this trip to Italy, for Sim's safe return to Hawaii, for the continued joy of celebrating big birthdays like Walter's. We give thanks, O God, for the strength you give to your people, as we pray for inspiration, safety, and dedication amid all the emotions of the Boston Marathon tomorrow. Blend us into a community of witness that you would have us all be in your resurrection and hopeful spirit. Lead us into places of new ministry as you are leading the students of Brown to discerning work in the prisons and for their students there. We ask your presence, O God, in all the circumstances of our lives. Grant that we may always follow where you alone lead us, to be the disciples you envision and call forth in the witness of your Son, our Lord, who teaches us to pray this day and all days. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into a temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's time for the children.
Squeeze in together here today. There's a lot of us. Yeah, a lot of people have allergies. A lot of people are coughing and sneezing. Okay. You know what today is, right? What's the special day?
Easter,
that's right. And why is it Easter? Right, because Christ is risen. Now, I want to show you something. What? They're seeds. Yeah, they're just seeds. Do they look like much? They are. They are marigold seeds, but they don't look like they're alive, do they? And if we just put them down in some dirt, not if I just throw them down on there, not much is going to happen, is it? What do they need? Yeah, they do. They need water and what else? Sun, right. Water and sun. What else?
You have to put the seeds in the dirt and cover them all up.
Oh, you mean I can't just throw them on top like that?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get my fingers dirty?
Yeah.
Oh, darn. I guess. Okay. I don't think this pot's big enough for a shovel, so I'll have to try to push them down in there. But they still don't look very good because I don't have any rain and I don't have any sun right here. But what's the wonderful thing about seeds? They don't look like much. They don't look like they're alive or anything else. But what happens?
They grow.
They grow when we get things like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get, you were right, it was marigolds, wasn't it? Marigolds, right? Okay, so this is one of the ways that we can think about Jesus coming back to life again. Everybody thought he was dead. And so they put him in a tomb because they thought he was dead. But he wasn't really dead. He was with God, and God gave him new life. And today we're celebrating that he's risen, that he's alive.
Yay.
Yeah. And the great thing is that because we know Jesus came back to life, that happens for all of us and for all the people we love that might have died. We all get to come back to life, and we're like, marigolds. We don't know exactly what we'll look like, but we'll be wonderful. We don't know exactly what God's going to bring us back like, but God will always keep us alive. We're always alive because we know Jesus was alive. We know we will be too. And what I'm going to let you do today, I'm not going to let you do it right now, but there's enough marigolds, I think, for each of you to have one. And if I don't have enough here in this box, they're going to be out there in the Hope Room. So during coffee hour, everybody can take one of these little marigolds. Maybe you can take it home when your mom or dad or an older brother or sister will help you plant them. And so you can each take one of those, and when you see it, you're going to remember who?
God.
That's right, you're going to remember Jesus and God, and that we have new life and that Jesus did too. Just like these marigolds come alive. And when they're alive, they give us all kinds of joy, don't they? Yeah, two plants to take care of. Okay. All right, so remember to pick up your plant. I'm not going to give them to you right now because you could drop them in the middle of the sanctuary and they'll get walked on and all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah, what a mess we'd have. Okay, so you remember to pick him up later, all right? Okay. Yep, yep. Okay, let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for Jesus. And thank you that you brought Jesus back alive again so that we know we'll get to live too forever with you. Thank you, God, for Easter. Amen. You can go back to your seats. You're going to come back up again later.
Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the good news of Easter's dawn may fill us with awe and great joy. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the 10th chapter of Acts. Then Peter began to say to them, I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for hymn 108, Christ is Alive.
Christ is alive, come here.
Please stand. Please join with me in reading responsibly the affirmation of faith. The duties required in the first commandment are the knowing and acknowledging of God to be the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify Him accordingly by thinking, loving, desiring, believing Him, delighting, rejoicing in Him, giving all praise and thanks. May be seated.
I'm going to invite the children to come forward again, and some of the parents may want to come with to give a little help for the younger ones. We're going to do something that this affirmation of faith just told us to do. It says to give praise, glorify God, and give thanks. Right. Does everybody have something that makes noise? All right. Okay. Now be real quiet for a minute. We're going to read Psalm 150 out of the Bible together, and I'm going to ask you to help me, so that everybody will really understand what giving God praise and joy is really meaning, okay? So I'm going to read just a little bit, and then they'll say things like, praise God with bells. And if you have bells or anything that makes a jangly sound, you make a sound, okay? And if anybody has tambourines, you know what those look like? You can play tambourines. And if you play them all the time, it doesn't matter. That's okay. Because that's what praising God is about. All right, now listen real carefully. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His church. Just a minute. Praise Him in heaven. Praise God for all God does. Praise God because God is wicked awesome. Praise God with bells. Praise God with shakers and maracas, anything that rattles. There you go. Praise Him with clapping of your hands. Everybody can do that. Praise God with everything that makes a noise. All right. And you already did the next one, which says shouts of joy. Now praise God with shouts of hallelujah. Let everyone praise the Lord. And I'm going to count to three. And after I say three, everybody say, praise the Lord. Okay? One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Make your noise. Very good job. Thank you for praising the Lord with me. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Continuing in that spirit of praise and joy, let us bring forth our tithes and offerings, and also the dedication of the one great hour of sharing. Pray. Almighty God, with great joy and thanksgiving, we dedicate these gifts to be blessed and multiplied according to your divine purpose. We also dedicate this day, O God, offerings toward one great hour of sharing, reaching to help with hunger, self-development, and disaster assistance here and around the world. We ask that you take all these gifts and use them to spread the good news of Easter, both near and far. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 113, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Today I invite you to use the Alleluia Amen as a response to the benediction. That's a weekly reminder that every single Sunday of the year is an Easter reminder, an Easter every Sunday. Go out into the world in jubilation. celebrating that we serve a risen Lord, now and forever. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen.
Yeah.